some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
What is up, FTN DataCast? Here on Thursday, the 29th of June, 2023, Adam Pfeiffer here, as always, bringing you some more coaching and coordinating episodes, team previews, however you want to call them. We're here with the Miami Dolphins as we continue the AFC East, wrapped up the Buffalo Bills last episode, and now we're on to Miami, a very exciting, very fun team. I kind of wrote about it. I led with it in my article. I mean, they're right here. They're right there. I mean, the Bills, the Jets, most of the Bills, but like Miami's right there. And after what we saw last year from Mike McDaniel in his first season, this team is here. And it'll be fun watching these matchups in the AFC East for the next couple of seasons. But yeah, again, check out all the articles. There's a landing page over at ftnfantasy.com. I tweeted it out yesterday in case you missed any of the articles. The Philadelphia Eagles was just posted today on Thursday, if you're listening. That is number 13. So there are 13 articles, just so much in-depth content about every team, schemes, target breakdowns, what these teams do, who benefits, play calling tendencies, red zone, pace, personnel, everything you could possibly think of. I have it in the article. So, yeah, let's get to Miami though. So massive different team, right? From 2021 to 2022, they bring in Mike McDaniel and the offense skyrockets. So of course, adding Tyreek Hill definitely helps too. But in 2021, the Dolphins were 27th in points per drive, 26th in yards per drive, and 16th in plays per drive. Last year, Mike McDaniel's first season, they climbed to 9th in points per drive, 5th in yards per drive, and they were only 21st in plays per drive, but that's only because they had so many explosive plays that made their drives really short, right? Only the Chiefs averaged more yards per play than the Dolphins at 6.1. And then Miami led the league in 40-plus yard passing plays of 14. So it wasn't because they couldn't sustain drives a lot of the time. It was mostly because Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle would go for 50-plus yards and the drive would be over. So they were obviously fantastic. Mike McDaniel, I mean, let's talk about it. Motion and speed. We knew it was going to be a focal point of this offense with his background coming from San Francisco and Atlanta. He worked with Kyle Shanahan for years, whether it was Denver, Washington, Atlanta. He was with him throughout the entirety of the career. So we knew that scheme was going to be implemented and a lot of motion, right? San Francisco has been the top team in terms of motion rate until this past season, where the Dolphins used pre-snap motion on 67% of their plays, easily the highest rate in the NFL. Overall, they use motion 73% of the time. So, yeah, I don't know how many times I have to say it, but I'm such a huge fan of pre-snap motion. I love it. I think it's incredibly important. And especially for this team, right? Like, when you have as much speed, I mean, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, the fastest wide receiver duo in the league, it's just not even fair. But, like, if you're playing man coverage, trying to chase these two around the line of scrimmage, across the line of scrimmage, across the formation, pretty much impossible. So teams really didn't play man coverage against Miami last year. They only did so about 20% of the time, third lowest rate in the NFL. But like if you tried, it didn't work out well. And then when you played zone, okay, Tyreek Hill would be getting free releases with pre-snap motion and everything, and then just easily find the soft spots in zone coverages. But with that uptick in pre-snap motion, like there was a lot of talk last season about what would he do without Patrick Mahomes? What would he do with Tua Tagovailoa? And Tua was obviously great. His statistics were fantastic. But I think the pre-snap motion had a lot to do with this too, because you're giving Tyreek Hill free releases. You're giving him all these opportunities. And most of the time when a player is in pre-snap motion, especially a player of Tyreek Hill's caliber, they're probably the first read on that play if they're throwing the ball. So you saw Tyreek Hill, first year in Miami, career highs in targets at 170, target share at 30%, and targets per out run at 32%. All were top three in the NFL. And then you look at it, according to Sports Info Solutions, Tyreek Hill was second among all receivers in targets and routes run with 33 and 34 respectively, strictly out of pre-snap motion. So it was just so difficult to stop him, especially with that pre-snap motion. And then you have all the speed, all this eye candy for opposing defenses. So instead of the defense kind of attacking, instead they are reacting. And that's really dangerous for a team with the Dolphins' speed and talent. So yeah, with McDaniel still there, expect them to be probably the number one team in pre-snap motion once again. Let's talk about the passing game, though, because McDaniel, run game coordinator in San Francisco, helped orchestrate one of the most efficient rushing attacks in the NFL. And yes, like we expected to see the wide zone from Miami, and that's what we saw when they did run the football. 63% of Raheem Mostert's carries came out of zone concepts. Miami as a team ran zone about 75% of the time. They actually ran more gap in 2021, so this is obviously a massive shift, which we expected. But the difference is, this was a pass-first, aggressive offense, right? Like, we've seen San Francisco, they've been more of a run-centric team over the course of their seasons there. But in McDaniel's first season in Miami, he was more aggressive. And I think a lot of that's had to do with, obviously, the personnel, right? You have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, you have Tua. You're going to want to throw the football. But Miami, ninth in passing rate on early downs at 56%. They were eighth in neutral script pass rate at 50, just about 60%. And like when they were ahead, they didn't take their foot off the gas. They led by 8+ points for 153 plays last season. And they had the second highest rate, pass rate in those situations at 59.4%. They were overall seventh in the NFL in pass rate over expected. So yeah, it was their strength. They played to it. And I think it helped them out a lot. I think when you have a lot of these, especially like McDaniel is one of the youngest head coaches in the league, and he was aggressive. He went for it, and it was really fun to watch. The middle of the field was once again, you coming from that Shanahan scheme, they throw to the middle of the field a lot, and that's what we saw with Miami. 28% of the Dolphins' passes were to the middle of the field. That was the highest rate in the NFL. And according to FTN Fantasy's directional tool, Tyreek Hill saw 38 targets in the short middle area of the field last year. That was the third most among wide receivers. They also used a lot of play action. Tua has been, over the past couple seasons, one of the most efficient quarterbacks out of play action in the NFL. So he had a 43.1% play action dropback rate, the second highest rate among all qualified quarterbacks behind only Marcus Mariota. So again, with that eye candy, keeping defenders guessing, you combine pre-snap motion, movement, different personnels, and play action, makes this offense really, really tough to stop. Speaking of personnel, again, we kind of expected it given where he came from, but especially after the team signed fullback Alec Ingold in March last season, we knew this team would run a ton of 21 personnel, which they did. I mean, Miami went 21 personnel 36% of the time, the highest rate in the league. Ingold finished third among all fullbacks in snaps and 50th among all running backs, not just fullbacks, but all running backs in routes run. They used, Ingold very similarly to how San Fran would use Kyle Juszczyk in motion in the slot, sometimes even out wide. Overall, though, I mean, this is an offense that runs through Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, right? They run mostly, they don't run a lot of 11 personnel. They don't run a lot of, because like, they're not running two tight end sets very often. We talked about this time last season where Mike Gesicki really wasn't a good fit for this scheme. And as a result, he ended up playing, the lowest snap share of his career at 45.2%. The Dolphins only used two tight end sets about, one of the lowest rates in the league, 10% of the time, the fifth lowest rate. There was a point down the stretch where Durham Smythe was out snapping Mike Gesicki. And, like, you have to be, run blocking in this offense. Despite the fact that this team did throw more, you still have to be able to block. And Gesicki is essentially a slot wide receiver. He only played in line 20% of the time the past few seasons. So it's not a good fit. He's obviously now with the Patriots, but like simply put, if the scheme is the same, like there's nobody outside of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle that you really are going to rely on for fantasy. because whoever wins the wide receiver three job, whether it's like Chosen Anderson, Braxton Berrios, like they won't be on the field as much because the Dolphins don't run a lot of 11. And even if they do run 11, you're competing for targets with two of the 15 best wide receivers in the NFL. So it's not a great fit. For the defense, Vic Fangio takes over. He was the Bears head coach in 2015 to 2018, and he was most recently the Broncos DC from 2019 to 2021. We've seen the Dolphins, their scheme the last couple of seasons, it's been extremely aggressive. It's been heavy blitzes and a ton of cover one. Their mindset was essentially, let us blitz more players than the offensive line and the offense can block. And the past two seasons, Miami blitz rates of 33.3 and 39.6%, third and second highest rates in the league. And again, they played a lot of that cover one where everybody is in man-to-man coverage and there's one deep safety over the top. So you will be vulnerable to some deep passes. But now with Vic Fangio there, it's a new scheme. Fangio has been, you know, a defensive mind that's been a 3-4 base, which is what Miami's run, but not as aggressive. Denver was 15th, 18th, and 23rd in blitz rate during his seasons there. And he likes to limit explosive plays by playing a lot of zone, cover four, cover six. So this is probably going to be a completely different looking defense this season. They obviously added Jalen Ramsey, who we saw during his final couple of seasons with the Rams. They were kind of playing him all over the field. He wasn't just like a stationary one side of the field defensive back. He was playing inside, outside, playing safety at times, playing like a free roaming safety at corner. So that'll be kind of fun to see what Jalen Ramsey does in Vic Fangio's scheme as well. Overall, the players they added, players they lost in free agency, we kind of mentioned the defense. They bring in Jalen Ramsey. And they were already a team that had plenty of defensive talent, right? Jalen Phillips, Christian Wilkins, two of the best young defensive players in the league. Add Jalen Ramsey, hopefully Xavier Howard, who actually had a really down year last season. But like, if he can bounce back, you have, you know, a secondary led by Ramsey, Xavier Howard, and Javon Holland, who's obviously, you know, an ascending safety in the league as well. They have plenty of talent on defense, and they'll have a new scheme. We'll see how that works. But other than that, like, they didn't add too much defensively. They drafted Cam Smith, I believe, in the second round. So adding to that secondary as well. And then on offense, again, not much. They did draft Devon Achane, and there's still some talk about Dalvin Cook. I believe there was a report that they actually did offer him a contract. We know Dalvin Cook would like to play here. There's been a lot of talk about Dalvin Cook. Would he be a fit, you know, with this offense? Does he have the speed? I think he'd be fine, but as of right now, they added Devon Achane, who is a perfect fit for this scheme, right? Arguably the fastest player in college football last season, entering the NFL draft. Like 60% of his carries at Texas A&M came out of zone concepts. He could be, you know, a really good fit, you know, one cut and just explode through the hole, and Achane has the speed to do it. Not much else, though. I mean, like I mentioned, they added Braxton Berrios, who I guess could start as their slot. But again, how often will he actually be on the field? They lost Mike Gesicki, like we mentioned. So right now their tight end depth chart is pretty lacking. You know, Durham Smythe is the lead there. But nobody we're really relying on for fantasy. Again, that's what makes this team pretty interesting, or pretty easy, I should say. Because right now, Tyreek Hill will go in the top six. Jalen Waddle will go in the top 20. Tua will be on that QB, like, 9 to 12 borderline. And then, especially if this team adds Dalvin Cook, you don't feel great about the backfield. Like, right now, you're pretty much taking Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and Devon Achane as, like, zero RB candidates. But you don't feel great about, you know, because there was a time where Mostert was clearly the lead back after Chase Edmonds didn't work out. And then they trade for Jeff Wilson. And then Wilson's first game, he outsnaps Mostert. Mostert gets hurt. Wilson's the lead running back. And then it goes pretty much like a 50-50 split once both players are healthy. So you add Devon Achane to that mix. We'll see if they actually add Dalvin Cook to that mix. It's a pretty easy team for fantasy. Like, you're really not starting anybody outside of the two wide receivers and probably two in most leagues. Maybe not like a must start in like traditional 12-team one quarterback leagues. But yeah, this is a pretty easy team, honestly. I think we'll continue to see, you know, Waddle and Tyreek Hill both they're both top 10 in fantasy last season. They'll probably both be right around there again this year. I love Jalen Waddle. That's the other thing, too, I should probably mention with scheme and usage. Jalen Waddle had a different role last season, which was very exciting. During his rookie season in 2021, Waddle had the 14th lowest yards before the catch perception at 5.5, 15th lowest average depth of target at 7.0. However, during Mike McDaniel's first season in 2022, like I mentioned, Waddle's role did change. His yards before the catch per reception climbed to 11.3, and his ADOT jumped to 12.1. So the ADOT went up 5 yards. The yards before the catch per reception went up almost 6 yards. Waddle also led the NFL in yards per reception 18.1 and yards per target at 11.7. So that was awesome. It led to him having a great season despite not being clearly as utilized as Tyreek Hill was. But 75 catches, he had almost 1,400 yards. I love that usage from Jalen Waddle, from McDaniel in that first season. He wasn't used in pre-snap motion really at all, especially compared to Tyreek Hill. I think he only had like 9 routes in pre-snap motion. That is something I'd like to see more of from him, because he is right there with Tyreek Hill as one of the fastest players in the NFL. So maybe we see more of a balance where it's not Tyreek Hill getting all of the pre-snap motion routes and targets, and it's more, 60-40, 50-50. That would help Jalen Waddle maybe even have a higher floor than we saw last season. But overall, you love the change in usage for him, because we know he's one of the most explosive wide receivers in the NFL. So it was great to see him get that role. But that'll pretty much do it for Miami. A lot of people want to put them as the top team in the AFC East. I'm biased, but I'm not there yet because, and they played well. The games against Buffalo last year were great, right? The one down to the wire in week 3, the snow game that went down to the wire in week 17, and then the playoff game where it looked like they were going to get absolutely boat raced and Skylar Thompson and company, and they almost won that game. So there's clearly reasoning behind a lot of people putting Miami ahead of Buffalo. I'm just not there yet. I still think Buffalo's roster top to bottom is better. I think they have Josh Allen, and that adds for a lot. But Miami's there. They are. It's not even that, the fact that they're on the way or on the rise. They're right there with Buffalo. So the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills need to be ready to go, because McDaniel was nothing short of fantastic in his first season as the head coach. They add Vic Fangio. They have talent on both sides of the ball. The only real concern is the offensive line. When they were without Teron Armstead last season, the games he missed, they were really bad. And of course, obviously, Tua has to stay healthy. You really hope Tua can stay healthy too. But Tua and Teron Armstead, if they can stay healthy, there's no reason this team can't be, once again, one of the most productive offenses in the NFL. So that'll do it for the Miami Dolphins. We will close out the AFC East coming up next with the Jets and the Patriots. The Patriots, I'll just get right to it. The Patriots were probably the most boring team to write about, right there with the Cardinals. So the Jets are fun though, right? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, Nathaniel Hackett. There was a lot of cool discussion that I had about that as well. So the Jets, Patriots up next, and we get to the NFC East with the Philadelphia Eagles, and we just keep pumping them out. Articles, podcasts, all that great stuff over at FTNFantasy.com. Also, check out the fantasy football game plan, the huge draft guide by Jeff Ratcliffe. George did amazing work with the graphics as well. It's a ton of stuff. There's 288 player write-ups. There are target distribution team previews. There are key stats for each team, depth charts, red zone usage, strategies, a ton of great stuff. And it's up at the site right now. I believe it published yesterday. So that is something I highly, highly, highly encourage you to check out. It should be on the front page of the website still as the pinned post. So check that out. FTNFantasy.com. Check out Jeff Ratcliffe's awesome fantasy football game plan for 2023, as well as all the other amazing content at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTN Bets. But that'll do it for me. That'll do it for the Miami Dolphins, the Jets, the Patriots up next as we close out the AFC East on these FTN Fantasy coaching and coordinating breakdowns. Keep it locked here at FTNFantasy.com and the FTN DataCast. Adam Pfeiffer, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at APfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.